Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We say sometimes that when a series of events or a story arc kind of comes around and caves back onto itself, that things have come full circle. And that's true in life and in many aspects of life. We see it oftentimes reflected in literature. One of the classical kind of literature tales it's medieval, that begins in about the 12th century is the tale of the Grail Quest. It begins with an old French epic poem. The poet dies before the poem is finished, but it's such a good story that other people build upon it, and eventually it grows into the tale of Percival. Percival is a young, brave, upright, but naive knight. He gains the help of Sir Gawain from the Arthurian legend, and he goes on the Grail Quest to find the Holy Grail, that mystic cup that Christ used to celebrate the Last Supper that legend tells us held the blood of Christ at his crucifixion. And the story is quite simple. He sets out on his quest. The first place he visits is the castle of the Fisher King, and then he goes on an adventure that reveals to him certain things and eventually leads him right back to the beginning, right back to the castle of the Fisher King, for the Fisher King is the one who is the guardian of the Grail. It's one big epic loop. We see this in cinema all the time, modern storytelling. For instance, the romantic comedy, they're written on the same cycle of things coming full circle. Quite simple formula. Two people meet. Those people are subsequently separated or kept from one another by a series of comedic events, but eventually they're reunited and things come full circle in 90 minutes or less. So now that you know that, you don't have to watch romantic comedies. You can watch a proper movie with cowboys. Now, there are entire world philosophies that are also based on the notion of life being a circle or a cycle. The ancient Chinese philosophy of Taoism, for instance, teaches that the world is the product of the energy of the qi that gives birth to everything. And the qi is expressed in the yin and the yang. It's a symbol from popular culture that you probably know, or from the Republic of Korea's flag, the South Korean flag. And the yin and the yang chase each other, so much so that they're always in the process of becoming one another. And the moral of the story is life goes round and round and round, and it comes full circle over and over and over again. The psychoanalytic school of psychiatry, it can be understood like this also. The students of the psychoanalytic school used to say that it began with Freud, and Freud takes us from cradle to adulthood. And it continued with Carl Gustav Jung, who takes us from adulthood to the cradle of the grave, full circle. Well, Christian theology, especially the theology as expressed by St. John's Gospel, is a theology of coming full circle. It can best be summed up by the words of St. Augustine, who is probably one of the Western Church's greatest theologians, who said that like the tide, everything flows from God and will return to God. St. John's Gospel expresses that theology quite literally as things come full circle, as God creates a self-sustaining and self-reinforcing loop, and it happens like this. God sends his Son into the world to dwell with the believers. The Son comes, and he brings the words of the Father and speaks them to the believers. The Son then prepares this community of faith for his eventual departure and return to the Father. The Father sends the Spirit as the Son returns, so that the community of faith might unleash the blessings of God and that the risen presence of Jesus might be revealed as the community loves one another. The gospel basically comes full circle. Today's text from John is part of that farewell discourse. In it, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his return to the Father. And he now teaches the believers that his presence will be made real to the community of faith. And that community of faith will literally see and receive him. when his promised Spirit leads them to obey the law of love. Now, the disciples, they don't quite get it. This is all quite new to them. And one of them asks, that's what happens right before the snippet we had today, but how is it that we will be able to see you, but the world won't? And then Jesus teaches them quite simply, love is the answer. It is the secret of love that unlocks the presence of God in Christ to a post-resurrection world. And the love that Jesus talks about is an attachment to Jesus that produces obedience to the Father's world that he brings with him. You see, obedience to the Father's word and law of love is the secret that the community of Jesus cherishes, but the world rejects. It is the secret that reveals the presence of God in Christ, the risen one, to people of faith, but not the world. Now, personally, this teaching gives me hope, especially in a time when the spirit of our times is in direct opposition to the word of the Father and the law of love. There's a time when I often find myself lamenting with others, where is God in the midst of chaos and destruction and bloodshed? Perhaps the answer lies here in the acts of love, acts of love that are done by people of faith on account of the Father's word. Where is God, we might ask? Perhaps God is there in loving acts done in Christ's name. There in those faithful actions, the risen one is revealed and shown to people of faith. So may the Holy Spirit reveal to you the presence of the Son in acts of love and mercy, so that the mystery of the incarnation and the resurrection might come full circle in us. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.